Well, good morning, everybody. A lot of dynamics here today with the Lottie Moon offering and the new candles that we're lighting. But you know, it's a beautiful thing when people come together and they want to serve the Lord. And we so appreciate again so much Jamie participating. One more round of applause for her. We're glad you're here, Jamie. Thank you so much. Well, again, we have to keep in prayer the people there in Illinois. This will be an ongoing effort. 22 tornadoes, you know, doesn't go by without something getting destroyed. And I've seen some of the pictures, and they definitely need our prayer. But we just got over a wonderful Thanksgiving time. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving, I hope, I pray. And then the blizzard that followed, we didn't cancel service here, but we had a very intimate crowd, so let's put it that way. But it was a joy to see, you know, the snow. I love snow. And then we were putting up the Christmas decorations out front. Jeremy's helping him. He does most of the work. I'm just pretty much on the outside saying, no, put it over that way a little bit more. But he brought the lift out so we can get the place decorated. And we're not done yet. We got to do some more things. So we want to recognize the season. This is Christmas time. And we want to give people a reason to celebrate, reason to reflect upon God's beauty. So anyways, if you got any suggestions on how we can make it better, please don't hesitate to share with us. And as you see, Amy's been busy with the flowers here too, and around the church. And we have a tree yet to be put up. I just love Christmas time. Who here has their Christmas tree put up? Anybody? You got a few? Oh yeah, got a few. Yeah, very good, very good. Well, God bless us all in this effort here, and may we be a light unto the world as we're presenting Christmas time to the community. Well, I got a little illustration I'm going to start you off. It's called A Tandem Ride with God. A Tandem Ride with God. You may not know it, but we try to kind of orchestrate the music and the video and to come up with a central theme. And today's theme, if you didn't guess it from the hymns, was letting the Holy Spirit take control. And so this one here is called A Tandem Ride with God. It's a little illustration. It says, I used to think of God as my observer, my judge, keeping track of the things that I did wrong as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I die. He was out there, sort of like the president. I recognized his picture of Jesus when I saw it, but I didn't really know him. But later on, when I met Jesus, it seemed as though life was rather like a bicycle. But it was a tandem bike. And I noticed that Jesus was in the back helping me pedal. I didn't know just when it was that he suggested we change, but life has not always been the same since I took the back seat to Jesus, my Lord. He makes life exciting now. When I had control, I thought I knew my way. It was rather boring, but predictable. And it was the shortest distance between two points. That's what I thought. I was just getting things done. But when he took the lead, Jesus, he knew delightful long cuts up mountains and through rocky places at breakneck speed sometimes. It was all I could do to hang on. Even though it often looked like madness, he said, pedal! I was worried and anxious and asked, where are you taking me? He laughed and he didn't answer. And I started to learn to trust. I forgot my boring life and entered into an adventure. And when I say I'm scared, he would lean back and he would just touch my hand to make me feel better. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing and acceptance and joy. They gave me their gifts to take on my journey, our journey, my Lord and mine. And we were off again. He said, give the gifts away, their extra baggage, too much weight. So I did. The people we met, and I found in the giving that I received. And still, our burden was light. I did not trust him all that much at first in control of my life. I thought that he would wreck it, but he knows spike secrets. He knows how to make the bend and take the sharp corners, how to jump to clear high rocks, to fly to short and scary passages. And I am learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest of places. I am beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful and constant companion, Jesus. And when I'm sure I just can't do anymore, he looks at me and he says, again with a big old smile, pedal! Well, today we're going to see a little bit about what's going to happen like that in this scripture verses that we're going to go through. The Holy Spirit is going to take lead of the missionaries' lives as they're going forward. And I hope that you would allow him to consider to take your lives in control as well. Please turn with me now, Acts 16, verse 6, on page 983 of the Pew Bibles, which of course is the inspired and the infallible living Word of God. Acts 16, verse 6, page 983. But first, let's start with prayer. Father God, Lord, we give you this day. And Lord, we ask that you open up our eyes to understand and to take in your words here so we can apply them to our lives. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you. And we ask you to take control of this time together that we have. In your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen, amen. So last week, if you remember, week four, we read where Paul and Barnabas decided to split up on this next missionary journey. Instead, Paul took Mark with him and Paul took Silas with him. Because before the last missionary journey, they went everywhere together. Now this time they split up and took two other people. We should too be partnering with other people's in success. That's where we left off in the last scripture verses that we read. We're not in this on this mission alone. We should be working with one another as a partnership. There's strength in numbers, and we need each other for wisdom and encouragement and strive to stay on a solid Christ-centered path and mission. Verse 6 starts off here today, though. It says, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. So stop there for a second. The title of this message today is called The Holy Spirit Leading. The Holy Spirit Leading. And that's exactly what was going on in this first part of our text here in Acts 6, Acts 16. 16. The Holy Spirit, which is indwelling in their person, is now leading them on the path that they should go. Now, I got to remind you that some of these paths Paul was undertaking back then was completely new to them. And as a frequent traveler, I can tell you that where they're traveling right now, the country of Asia, going into Europe, is not very hospitable to outsiders. Did anybody see the news this week where a young man named John Allen Chow, a U.S. missionary, was killed on an isolated island with a tribe in somewhere between Bangladesh and India? Really sad circumstance. He wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to go there and present the gospel so they can choose. He wanted to teach them about Jesus so they can choose to follow him instead of being isolated from God's word. God tells us to go to all the nations, just like the International Mission Board video we showed. These people are going into harm's way to present the gospel, and that's exactly what we're here. Like Paul, he was trying to tell people about Jesus. But one of the last things that man, John Allen Chow, said is, I don't want to die. But he felt that if he did not go, who would? And that it was worth the risk. My heart grieved when I heard about him and what he was trying to do. A lot of people had scrutiny, bad scrutiny for him, because he was going to a place that he shouldn't have been, ideally. But that's what missionaries do. They go to hard places where people don't, the governments maybe don't even want to accept them, and so that they can take that risk to present the gospel so they too can learn. Well, this month ahead, we're going to be concentrating on this international missions agenda for the Southern Baptist Organization. We have more missionaries in the field than any other religion or denomination. And I'm proud of that. And they're not scraping for cash due. They're paid for. Their families are taken care of. They have insurance. And they're protected in a lot of different ways by the organization to go out and tell the people about Jesus. So I'm proud of what this man, young man, did. I'm proud of what he did. You know, and we need people that are brave enough to stand up for Jesus like this man did. So now in our scripture verse here, we see Paul and his contemporaries, they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit as they were going. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and what? God the Holy Spirit. Yeah, God the Holy Spirit. The fact that the Holy Spirit is God is clearly seen throughout the Bible and Scripture, including one, for instance, Acts 5:3-4. In this verse, Peter confronted this man named Ananias, who as to why he lied to the Holy Spirit. And he told him that, in his quote, it says, he had not lied to men, but to God. It is clear declaration that lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God, the third person of the Trinity. We can also know that the Holy Spirit is God because he possesses the same characteristics of God that it mentions in the Bible. For instance, the Bible says that God is omnipresent. It's all places at all times. And it's clearly seen in throughout the Bible, like Psalm 139:7, David wrote, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." David knew that God was everywhere. God's spirit was everywhere. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says, "But God has revealed it to us by his spirit. The spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." The Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful piece of God that we have in our character now as Christians. It says, we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And I don't know where I would be without my Holy Spirit guiding me day by day, just like Paul and Silas was doing here. And I pray that you feel the same. As you mature in Christ, you should become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading in your life. Paul, in our text, they learned through experience that listening to the Holy Spirit is wise. I don't know about you guys, but I'll tell you, there's been times in my life where the Spirit has saved me, literally saved me physically from harm. We all should learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading us as well. As all Christians receive the Holy Spirit inside them the day that they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I can just see my Holy Spirit, though, sometimes yelling up at me, "Are you listening, Jerry? Are you listening? I'm trying to tell you, don't go that way." But sometimes we just cut them off. And that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to be sensitive to him. In our text here, there's no clear indication why or how the Holy Spirit kept them from going to this part of Asia, but Paul didn't question it. And this is a good lesson for us as well. We need to know God's will by reading his word, and then listen for the Holy Spirit to guide us as we go. Verse 9 says, "During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, 'Cross over to Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." Here is another way that the Spirit sometimes interacts with us, through dreams and visions. Anybody here ever have dreams and visions that you think was inspired? I'll bet you most of you have. By the way, this is a Baptist church. Don't hesitate. Don't be scared to raise your hands. We like raising our hands here. Well, I had never had a vision per se, but I have had a lot of dreams. There are a lot of visions and dreams spoken about in Scripture too. Some key instances you might recall is like Joseph. Remember Joseph? And he had his dreams, as well as the ability to decipher the dreams that saved him when he was down in Egypt. Then there was Peter, who saw a vision or a dream when he was on top of the roof that led him to, later on, to cause the church to accept non-Jewish believers or Gentiles into the church family. That dream caused him to change. Dreams are interesting things. And I've had a few dreams that changed the courses of my life. And I'm not going to speak to all of them here, but a couple of most worthy ones are or my daughter's name, Estelle, that came to me in a dream one night. And that dream resulted in Estelle getting her name, which is French provincial, and eventually Adeline got her name, which is French provincial. Listen to the dreams. Listen to the Holy Spirit, as long as it doesn't go against Scripture. Another dream I had gave me a great appreciation for Mother Mary. At times, I see people making jokes and a lot about Mary, but I felt captive to some of that stuff. And then one night, in the middle of the night, I had a dream, and it was about Mary. And that dream changed my course. I love Mother Mary. I appreciate Mother Mary. That's Jesus' mom. So I gotta love her, right? So anyway, do you have dreams? Do you have dreams that change your course of your life? I would love to hear about them. Maybe not today, but as you go, if you have dreams, take note of them. Many dreams are fleeting, though. And I can hardly remember sometimes the moment after I wake up. But I knew it was a great dream, and I struggled to try to recall what it was. So I talked to Amy about it. I learned a long time ago that some very influential and successful entrepreneurs even keep a notepad next to their bed so they might capture some of those dreams or inspirations. Really cool stuff. This is the kind of stuff that we need to be sharing with each other so that we can make this thing called faith real in our lives. In this verse though, here, the dream Paul had was to go to Macedonia. So that is leaving Asia and now going into southeastern Europe. These guys were really traveling about, and the places that they were going by foot or by sea were not known to be the most easily traveled. Many mountains and wilderness they had to traverse to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. I can imagine Paul saying, I had a dream. Everybody probably went, uh-oh. He had a dream. Okay, where are we going now? Yeah, Macedonia. Verse 11, it continues. It says, from Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace. The next day, Neapolis. And from there, Philippi. Wrote the book Philippians, by the way. The Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate by the river, there where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women that gathered there. So Paul and Silas here, and Timothy, and probably a few other guys, made their way to Macedonia. Through the hill and the dale, they made their way to Macedonia. Then on Sunday morning, they sought out a place of prayer. When you travel, do you seek out a place of prayer, or do you consider it a break from the church? This is a little convicting, perhaps. I know it is for me, too, though, sometimes. I know most people do not go to church when they go out traveling. They instead try to discover the city, spend time with friends, go shopping. But the last thing on their mind sometimes is going to church when they're out and about. But I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't be going out and experiencing the joys of the location. But I found it that I get the most joy when I visit other places and by finding and visiting the churches along the path as well. It is pure joy to find fellow believers in Christ, people who I might call brothers and sisters. I walk into the place and I say, I'm a traveling Christian and welcome here. And they welcome me with open arms. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It feels like family. It feels like it should feel. People that I can trust as Christians are meeting one to one another. And why shouldn't I meet with them? And in doing so, I have the benefit of learning about the area and the cultural dynamics of the location that I'm visiting. It gives me an added plus besides the faith end of it. It's a practical thing too. Not only is it enjoyable for me, but I found that it to be of great benefit in my business as I was traveling about. Not to mention, it gives us the opportunity to stay the course, which is hard to do sometimes when you're traveling. I needed that. I've learned that I need that to stay the course. It's important. I will encourage all of you to do this as well as you travel. And when you do, do me a favor. Get their church bulletins and bring it back so I can look at them. I enjoy looking at other people's churches' things, you know. We all learn from each other, and it's nice to stay up with what's popular and successful in that respect. and take note of the dynamics of the service and maybe bring them back to us so that we too might learn and vicariously experience your travels with you. I remember one time I was traveling in Brazil, and right before I go to these international countries, I always try to touch base with a missionary or a church prior to so that I know where I'm going when I get there. Well, getting to some of these missionaries is tough. You have to go through like layers of protection mechanisms that they might put in place because it's dangerous. But right before I left, the day of, I'm going to the airport, I get an email finally from a missionary who happens to be in Brazil, São Paulo area. And so I'm flying into São Paulo, but this is the third biggest city in the world, São Paulo. And I fly in there, and I pull out this, I didn't get a chance to read the emails, but I'm in the taxi cab leaving the airport, and I pull out this email from this guy, and he says this location that he's at, and I have no clue where it's at. And I reach over to the driver, I says, I have a friend at this place here, this address. He says, you want to go there? And I said, well, yeah, that'd be nice, but I don't know where it's at. You know, I don't know if we have time. You want to go there now? And I says, well, yeah, that'd be fun. I'd really like to go there, but I'm not sure if we have time. And he went, he was at the exit right then. And he made one more turn, and I was right in front of the church. And the pastor was in front of the church. And he rolled down the window, and I says, I'm Pastor Jerry. He says, oh, I just sent you an email. God was guiding me. And we had the best time. I gave my luggage to the driver, and the driver took it to the hotel that I was at. And I spent the whole day with the church and the church family. We had dinner. By the time I got to work the next day, I was speaking Brazilian, Portuguese. What a benefit it was to my company, even that I had that indoctrination and a beautiful opportunity for me to stay on course on my faith. So when you go out and about, think about maybe connecting up with the church. And if you want some help in that regard, I'd be happy to show you. So this verse here, Paul and his band of brothers came upon, here it says, some ladies in the city and started talking and telling them about Jesus. That would be such a dangerous thing to do in these places. It's a very subjective opportunity, even today, that men would talk to women in some of these cities. Some cities don't even allow people for men to speak to women on the streets or in the stores. Even in the restaurants, they have a separation. They have the women over on this side and the men on this side. I've experienced that. So Paul was taking some significant risk here. They could have been thrown in jail by just talking to this woman. But in doing so, though, he met Lydia. Lydia, what a beautiful name. Anybody ever here know someone named Lydia? It's a pretty name. You do? No kidding. Verse 14, it talks about Lydia. It says, a God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. So he's talking to the women, but Lydia was listening. The Lord opened her heart and responded to what Paul was saying. And after she and her household were baptized, she urged us, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. As you could imagine, this is violating all kinds of social norms in most of these countries. The name Lydia actually means the Lydian woman, by which she was known, indicates that she was from a place called Lydia in Asia Minor. And it mentions the city, actual city here too, though. She is also known for being called the woman of purple. Lydia is considered the first European Christian convert. It is believed that she was probably a wealthy widow, and that she didn't introduce a husband, and she made an invite by herself to her house directly. She didn't ask for any approval or anything. Notice that it says that she and her household were baptized. So we might derive that she had children, parents, or maybe servants. The fact that she believed and responded immediately with baptism is another great example for which we follow in our church here. You first believe, then you get baptized. That's what we practice here in the Southern Baptist Church. But also notice the sequence of events that led to Lydia's conversion. One, Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to go and preach. Two, he preached. Lydia was listening. And three, then notice in our text here, verse 14, it says, the Lord opened her heart. Then finally, four, Lydia was baptized. These are the normal sequence of events of how most of all of us come to know, really know the Lord. And it's exactly what Paul later wrote about in Romans 10. Now, I'm going to ask you to pick up your Bible real quick and turn to Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. Because I find this to be very illuminating as far as what transpired here, why and where. Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So whoever calls will be saved. How then can they call the one whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preach? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Paul was bringing the good news. And he was sent by the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus, all of these same sequence of events happened to you at one time or another. You chose to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But the Lord, just like Lydia, opened your heart. And just as Lydia showed how grateful she was by inviting these men to stay in her house, the rest of your life, you should also be overflowing with amazed thankfulness at the miracle that you too are a believer. And this young lady may have heard something about the Jewish religion, but she's so far away. I doubt she has heard anything about Jesus Christ because she's so far away. They didn't have no internet back then, no Facebook chatting or nothing of that nature. It was word by mouth, and you know, time has passed, but the likelihood of her being delivered a message is beautiful. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch going, driving along the road. Remember that one? And he opened up the book and he's reading Isaiah. And he says, how do I know what this means? And God sent Philip to intervene, to meet him on the road, to explain what it was. And they got baptized in a puddle along the side of the road. Anybody, the Bible says, anybody who wants, who seeks him out, he will provide the message. And that's what Paul was doing here. These verses we enjoyed today brings us several tidbits of application that we too should consider adding to our daily lives. One, be receptive to the Holy Spirit. Like Paul, when the Spirit tells you no, there's probably a good reason to listen. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you in visions and dreams, consider yourself blessed and follow those dreams. But I'll add the one caveat, though, it should match up with Scripture. If it tells you, for instance, to wipe out a civilization, I wouldn't call that scriptural. That might be Satan playing into you. But visions and dreams are one way that the Holy Spirit does speak to you, but it should be matched against Scripture. Two, when you travel about, don't forsake meeting with each other for prayer and for church. It'll help keep you on the right path, and it'll make your life much more rich and joyous in doing so, I promise. I can't tell you how many churches I've visited on Sunday afternoon, you know, come around 10 or 11 o'clock, and, you know, they just happen to have lunch set aside, too. And so I enjoy lunch with them, too. The fellowship is fabulous. So, I mean, there's intrinsic, but then there's wonderful, joyous, faith-filled gifts that you receive by doing so. Three, understanding how salvation came about for this woman of purple, Lydia. I hope you see the importance of sharing God's word with those you meet. It could make an eternal difference for generations of people's lives. Lydia brought them back to their house and had everybody baptized. And so you know that started a generation of peoples there, probably who later on Paul writes to the Philippian church, the book of Philippians. So it could make a world of difference. Listen to the Holy Spirit, and then when you go there, make a difference. Don't be, just like we talked about in Sunday school today, proclaim it. Believe it, God's word, and proclaim it. Claim it as your own, and then tell people. And then four, and finally, let God's Holy Spirit take the lead in your life. Just like the songs that Jamie sung, just I played just a little while ago, just like the little illustration I started out with, letting God take control on that tandem bike ride of life. Let God take the lead. And if you listen and heed His direction, the Holy Spirit will lead you on an amazing life adventure. He will allow you to accomplish more than you ever could imagine on your own. Listen and follow God's Holy Spirit. I'll tell you something. In this church, the reason I'm here is because of the Holy Spirit working. The reason that Jeremiah and I are connected is through the Holy Spirit. We were reflecting as we were putting up the lights outside yesterday about all the things that him and I have done through the years and seeing each other grow in graces and grow in ministry and stuff of that nature. I'll tell you what, if you accept Jesus Christ calling on your life and you follow his lead, you will have an adventure beyond what you could possibly imagine. So, but we're getting ready to close here. Would you please stand? The topic, the title of this message is here, is the Holy Spirit's leading. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us in this church. And it takes not only but believing, but also it takes faith, and it takes courage, and it takes getting your hands dirty and make a difference. And I pray that y'all jump on board with us here. We're going to have Lord's Supper, but before we do, we're going to sing a little verse of Amazing Grace. And it's going to give us the opportunity to pause and reflect and also prepare our hearts for receiving the Lord's Supper. Please come forward, Jamie. She's going to give us one verse of Amazing Grace. And if at this time, if you need me to pray over you, for us to pray over you, I ask you to come forward. If you'd like to join the church, this is the time to do it. And if you'd like to be baptized, this is another time to consider that. So, Amazing Grace. Would you sing with me now?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. What a joy it is to reflect upon the journey that Paul's on right now and how we can apply it to our lives. Lord, I ask that you cleanse us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and to just prepare our hearts to receive the elements here, Lord. We call this the Lord's Supper, Lord, as you called us to do this. And in that, we take much joy. Watch after us, Lord, in the rest of this service. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can I get the usher come forward, Tim? Yep. In Luke 22:19, the Bible says, "And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then Luke 22:20, and it says, "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is a new covenant contract established in my blood. It was shed for you.'" And then 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's go to prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for watching after us, for giving us your Holy Spirit, for giving us this church, for giving us the church family, for giving us your precious word. Lord, where would we be without these things? But more than anything else, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving your Son to die on the cross at Calvary. That through his efforts, through his blood, that we can now be rest assured that our sins are forgiven. Lord, you said on the cross, "It is finished. It is finished." Therefore, anybody who believes in you, Lord, can have the assurance that it is finished. If you paid for our sins, therefore we can join you in heaven. Father God, I ask that you help us as a church to make that message clear so that others will consider and choose to love you and follow you and accept your gift of salvation as we have here. Lord, it is in your precious name we pray. Everybody says, amen. Thank you, everybody. God bless you all. Have a great day. Let's have some, we got some popcorn or something we're going to have there, Roger. And we're going to, if anybody wants to stick around, we're going to decorate a couple trees. I think we have a tree to decorate. So we'll put it together and see how far we get. But anyway, thank you all for being here today. God bless you.
Sir, thank you for letting me do this. Can you send it on the other side?
Yeah.
I thought it was a fan.
Oh, it's this here. Yeah, we can put it right in front.
Well, it is getting it back. It's not the van. Because I shut the van off. And when that shut off, it quit.
What do you suggest?
What is,
over there?
Maybe farther away over there.
Like right here?
Yeah. You probably make it one.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie.
I think you got that covered, but still. Can I give you a